Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending, the Broncos did beat the Raiders last night, 10-7. It was 7-7 at half, which means there was a whole 3 points scored. It was one of the ugliest games of the year. Legitimately, it was hideous. Unwatchable for a huge chunk of it. I mean, for the entire third quarter, I just watched the new episode of Taskmaster rather than watch that game.
You missed anything?
Well, I didn't miss anything. Didn't even matter. Bo Nix did not look particularly good. Neither did Ashton Jeanty or any other player on the field for that matter. But the Broncos did get the win. They go to 8-2 on the season. Now 2.5 full games ahead of Kansas City. Obviously, those two teams will take on each other next week. Very similar points scored and points against for those two teams right now, although Denver has played one more additional game.
Next up on What's Trending, we got some college basketball tonight. KU is playing UNC tonight. It's a good matchup. That'll be on ESPN if you still have it. Missouri also playing SEMO tonight in college hoops. And then tomorrow, K-State has Bellarmine at 7 p.m. So college hoops, we're getting right back into it. Some good action.
Yeah, KU, UNC, that's interesting. Over on the text line, someone was like, hey, guys got any suggestions? I have YouTube TV, lost ESPN. What would you suggest I do to watch the KU game? I said, just go get a free trial for Fubo or Sling or Hulu TV.
And trials are the way to
trial
go. That's what
for
I'm
a
doing.
Week or whatever. Just bounce between them until eventually they resolve this issue.
Hopefully.
You want to know the truth? That's probably what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Or you go find you go to Carrington's page. He might have a link up for you. He usually does. Next up on What's Trending, Casey Current will have their first playoff game at home this Sunday against Gotham FC. Taking off at 11:30. It's a nationally televised game. Of course, as well, the KC Current setting all kinds of NWSL regular season records. Now the question whether or not their playoff run will go longer than last year's that ended in the semifinals. If they win the game against Gotham FC on Sunday, they will go on to play a quarterfinal match at home. Of course, by the way, if you missed it, KC Current gave away the Temwa Shawinga bobbleheads. Very popular, going for like hundreds of dollars over on the secondary reseller sites right now. You have a chance to win one right now over at 965thefan.com. That's where we're giving you a chance to win several of them, honestly. Go to 965thefan.com. Chance to win an exclusive limited edition KC Current bobblehead. Of course, Temwa Shawinga. Brought to you by H&R Block, celebrating 70 years of tax expertise with hometown roots in the soccer capital of America. Head over there if you want a chance to get one. Very, very popular item. My daughter ripped the box to shreds, but...
Hey, it's all. Hey,
you she's know already what? Up on the shelf. I got like there I have a small handful of bobbleheads, and it's Vinny as a Pasquatch, Bobby Witt Jr. sliding, Rusty Koontz, Talking Bobblehead, and now Chewinga.
There you go.
It's a very exclusive group.
Start the collectible collection, you know. Next up on What's Trending, Jaden Daniels. This is interesting. He won't immediately be placed on IR after he got some good news from his MRI showing zero structural damage. It's crazy because
I think it'd be a mistake to play him.
I agree.
Season's over.
I never saw the replay, but given how gruesome it looked, the fact that he had zero structural damage is a miracle, it seems like, given the way that it seemed like in the replay.
They seem shocked themselves that it was zero structural damage. They said they're going to reevaluate after the bye.
Man,
they're just going to take the bye and then see. So I have a hard time imagining that's the case.
How far are they out of the playoffs?
The Broncos have him on the schedule?
Let me see.
I mean, they're like three wins, so I mean.
That's what I'm saying. The Washington Commanders are currently, they're 14th in the NFC. They're 3-6. They're a full 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. There's no reason, none, to bring him back.
No, I mean, and if you do, it better be late in the season. Do not risk rescuing him back after the bye week just because you're like, his elbow feels fine now. Lastly, on What's Trending, announced earlier, this is another thing you'll need that free trial for, over on ESPN. Patrick Mahomes will be the guest picker on College Game Day. I called it, Drew.
Yes, you did.
On Monday, we were talking about it. I said, I bet Patrick Mahomes will be the guest picker down there in Lubbock. You had said, hey, has that been announced yet? I said, nah, it just makes too much sense.
It does.
Him, Texas Tech, it's a bye week. It all lines up so perfectly. So Patrick Mahomes will be the guest picker for Texas Tech's huge game.
Who do you think he's
going to
take?
This Saturday. I believe he's going to take Texas Tech.
The school he went to? The school that has jerseys that are basically made after it?
Yeah. Something tells me. Something tells me he'll be fine. And then he will choose
Texas.
It's
the biggest game they've had since they beat Texas when Brent Musburger was on the call. I don't even remember what year that was. 2006, 7, 8?
Yeah, and even then, like, that only became one of the biggest because they won it.
Correct.
Like, because of the chance to, like, win a national championship, win the Big 12 and all this stuff, this is a huge game against BYU. One of the biggest in their program's history. Remember, Texas Tech was not some, like, they're only recently coming into the scene because they're spending humongous money, have the backing of Patrick Mahomes and others, and it seems to be working at least in the early going. Coming up in about 10 minutes, I'm going to tell you about something that happened in Major League Baseball. And I know you're like, what? It's November. Trust me, it makes sense where I think it might be an arms race between multiple leagues. But last night, I watched almost all of, I missed maybe 5 minutes of the third quarter of the Denver Broncos and Raiders game. And fine, text line can say this, and I am happy to eat my words if that's what takes place. From the 816, what excuses are we going to make when they lose to Denver? This is an excuse-free game. There is no excuse. I have no fear of them. It is legitimately one of the least impressive winning streaks I've ever seen. They're not good. They are staying alive. The defense is keeping them alive. The defense is good. I'm not trying to dismiss that. The defense is obviously very good. As a result of that, it is keeping them in games. I have never been less impressed by a five-game winning streak than what I have seen this year. They have one quality win, and I'm not saying Kansas City's got a bunch. They don't. They have like a quality win against Philadelphia, in which they looked their best. They have beaten the Jets, Giants, Cowboys, Houston, and Raiders. If you did an NFL draft right now, those teams would be picking all 1 through 10 in the NFL draft, and they are doing it by the skin of their teeth. The fact that Bo Nix could get nothing going against the Raiders, who have a bad team. They're an awful team. And the defense just kept handing the ball back. And then somehow Bo Nix was putting the Raiders in better field position because they couldn't even like get a first down. That was about as inept as I've ever seen their offense look. And Bo Nix has looked bad this year. He has not looked impressive. And so, like, I just don't fear them. And maybe I'm wrong. I like Kansas City in this game more than, like, I feel more confident than I did in the Bills game for sure. Maybe not as confident as the Raiders game we were coming in here, but it's somewhere in between those two, Drew. I feel very good about this.
Well, and I think that the fact that Pat Surtain is not going to be playing in that game should also help ease your concern a little bit. It does feel like this team is, like, the complete opposite of the Denver Broncos, that being then the Cowboys or the Bengals, where obviously, the Cowboys and the Bengals have outstanding offenses. Electric can hang 40 on you at any time, but the defense is stink. The Broncos' defense can hold you to less than 13 points, and it doesn't look like it's that difficult. They're that good. But offensively, they are in every single game. And somehow, to what you guys talked about earlier in the week, if Bo Nix hasn't turned into a different quarterback in the last quarter of seemingly all these games, the Broncos are maybe 500, like maybe 500, yeah. Which I think to your point,
and 500 and not playing good football, where like if they had one or two more losses, you wouldn't respect them at all.
Yeah. And to
the wins are the only thing that's keeping me thinking that they're decent.
Yeah. And to your point, the fact that they keep on skating by barely right on a razor's thin edge of losing these games makes me feel like their luck, if they do win the division, if they make the playoffs, it feels like they will given their record, but it feels like their luck will run out because they're using all of it right now in the season where, yes, they're finding ways to win, but they don't feel like a good football team. And last year, the Chiefs obviously got by with a lot of close wins, but they still had Patrick Mahomes, and we know the difference between Bo Nix and Patrick Mahomes is obviously very significant.
Their next three games are against Kansas City, Washington on the road, which I guess could be different because that's a bye. That'd be November 30th. Maybe I'd view that game different if Jaden Daniels actually plays, Drew. And that would be 23 days from now. So I guess if they're saying they're going to evaluate him after the bye week, there's at least a chance they would entertain Jaden Daniels. The Raiders, who are awful, it'll be at Vegas this time. And I do think they'll still beat despite the fact that that game was close. But their final four are Green Bay, Jacksonville, Kansas City, and the Chargers. Three at home. And that's where, like, I still think Kansas City's got a really good chance to do it because I don't think Denver's getting through this. First off, it's just a wash if you win both of your games against Denver, which I'm feeling better about based on what I saw from Denver last night and what I've seen from Denver during this winning streak. So it's a wash if you just win your games against them. Then It's you got to play better in your remaining five games than they do. Their remaining five games, when you take out the common, you know, playing each other, Washington, Vegas, Green Bay, Jacksonville, and L.A. So three hard games into what should be easier games, although the Washington one with Jaden Daniels, let's see. Right. So it's like it's not the easiest schedule by any means, because there's three games that I think are very much coin flips or very losable games. One in Washington, in which I'd like to make a decision on whether or not they have a starting quarterback, and one against the Raiders that I do think they'll win. All right, let's take out the Denver games. Who are the Chiefs' remaining opponents? Indianapolis, Dallas, Houston, the Titans, and the Raiders. And so you're like, eh. And then one game against the Chargers. You're like, eh. You know? Does that seem all that bad? Like, it, you know, like that's the part where it's like, I kind of like the Chiefs schedule better. You just got to play better than them and beat them. I do think the Chiefs have a good chance at it. Some of it is just like, watch that game. Now, I got to say, the Raiders are awful. I don't know.
They're not good.
They brought in Pete Carroll, and he was supposed to be a program stabilizer the way Andy Reid was. And to this point, man.
Whew. No.
Are we sure the game? It was pretty bad the last couple of years in Seattle. Are we sure the game just didn't pass him by? And that was the reason why Seattle pushed him out. And by the way, Seattle made the right call. I wouldn't exactly say Mike McDonald's not working out.
Oh, yeah.
It's working out like gangbusters.
It could also just be the Raiders or the organization is just... He's become a subject of what that organization has been. I do think it's interesting because people on the text line, like, you know, from the 913, like the Chiefs' little luck ran out last year. Yes, but to a different degree. This is why, Cody, you are, I think, absolutely correct to not believe in Denver, is because, yes, the Chiefs and Broncos, the Chiefs from last year and the Broncos this year are very similar teams. However...
Yeah, winning close games, winning ugly.
You could argue lucky the defense was making plays and Pat gave credit to the defense, whatever the case is, blocking field goals, everything. The difference was when you felt like it got to the playoffs and you needed a guy to perform... You knew Patrick Mahomes would show up and elevate the roster, where we don't think, based on the quarterback play that we have seen from Bo Nix, that even if they do win the division, which I think they will, and even if they do get to host, it doesn't feel like Denver can win a playoff game against top-tier competition, because to your point about the little winning streak,
not yet.
And play nobody in that stretch, and also... Bo Nix, the way he's playing, doesn't look like, let's say it even is a close game. Let's say Denver's defense is great, they're elite, and Bo Nix has to go down and win you a, let's say it's 13-10. It's an ugly football game, but Bo Nix has a shot to go win you the game. I don't think, how much confidence do you have that he can do that?
None.
And I know that he's shown up late in games, but it feels like to me I would have very little confidence that Bo Nix can do that against the best teams in the NFL when it comes down to the playoffs. That's where the difference is, I think, where the Chiefs' luck ran out in the Super Bowl and the Broncos' luck would run out in the first round the next round.
You get to point out, and it's more than fair, you can be like, hey, but look, you know, we just talked about this. Look at what the Chiefs did. all the other stuff, right? Ah, look what they're doing. Okay, fine. Can we admit that there's one massive thing that you are ignoring in this, which is one of these teams has a slightly different pedigree. So even if you think on paper, and I don't think that they look the same level of bad, even if you on paper think that what the Chiefs were doing in the middle of the season last year mirrors that of what the Denver Broncos are doing, there are a couple of key differences. One is quarterbacked by Bo Nix, a nobody, and one is quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes. One of them had one back-to-back Super Bowls and three with their coach and quarterback combination, and one hadn't won a playoff game. So even if they're playing in likeness, they are not the same, because history is on Kansas City's side in this scenario. And I don't want to just lose sight of the fact that, yeah, it is different when Kansas City plays mediocre. Yes, it is different when Kansas City doesn't play their best football or doesn't look the same or looks slightly off and still manages to find a way to win. Because one of them is coached by Andy Reid and quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes and has a bunch of damn hardware. And one is a second-year quarterback who looks shaky. So, like, they're just not, it's just not the same. Even if I get Peyton the ring with, he had with Breeze, it's just not the same.
That's even though Pat didn't have that great of a year last year, it felt like he was still able to come up when it mattered. Like, there were moments where Patrick Mahomes needed to be as good as he had ever been, and he was. I just don't know if we get that from Bo Nix. And look, they might go on. Let's say Denver does go on to the AFC Championship game. Hey, you know what? Maybe Bo Nix found something and they got going. But it does feel like this offense for Denver just isn't capable of giving the same level of output when it comes down to the playoffs. Because, yeah. I mean, if it's anything like sports in general, there's playoff football is different than regular season football. It feels like that's the same with every sport. Playoff baseball is different than regular baseball because of situations and how you manage the game. Basketball, playoff basketball is different. Defenses play a lot tougher in the playoffs compared to the regular season. Like, things can shift to make things a little bit even more difficult than what they seem to be for Bo Nix currently. And that's when you only put up 10 points against that Raiders team. It doesn't make people believe in you.
No. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk about a name that's popping up in the Royals offseason. Plus, a big major league player was posted. We'll talk a little bit about that because I do think it's an interesting offseason for the Royals, and something Vinny had said earlier in the show to us that I think applies to this conversation. But something took place in Major League Baseball, and I think it points to something that I think is going to be a race. I had mentioned this to you before the show a little bit, Drew. So the ratings for Game 7 of the World Series came out a couple of days ago. And it said that MLB had 51 million average viewers watch Game 7 in the U.S., Canada, and Japan combined, making it the most watched game globally in 34 years. And look, it's a perfect storm. You get big teams, big names, the entire Japanese market, and all of Canada, right? You don't always get that luxury, but that's the point. I think seeing those numbers is only going to further convince these leagues that it needs to be an arms race to get a team in a foreign country. Because the NFL has been toying with it for years, but just can't pull the trigger yet on a full European division of a team in London, a team in Germany, or two teams in Germany, two teams in London, or whatever extra division they want to create to go with it. Baseball's got a bigger problem, as in, because you have full series, you can't necessarily take them over an ocean. So you would have to be looking at, do you put a team in Mexico City? Do you put a team in some of these other countries that have really good known MLB fan bases? Or do you risk doing the same thing, getting to London or these things where you send people over for a series and stack off days around it? Because it's going to be a race. Numbers like that are why these leagues are looking to go overseas with teams. And not just a visit. It's like, if you put a team there permanently, think about how much bigger your reach is.
It does feel, because I think you're right in the fact that the first option, because of the series aspect and everything, would be Mexico, whether it be Mexico City or somewhere else. It feels like that's the spot. Did Chicago play a game? Did the Cubs play in London or in England this year?
Maybe.
Was it Europe? Because I'm trying to think of, and again, not that Europe doesn't follow baseball to the same level, but I wonder if would the league be better off putting a team in Mexico City or better off putting a team in London?
Nobody played in London this year. The Mets and Phillies played in 2024.
Okay.
And in 2026, the Yankees and Blue Jays will play a series there.
It feels like football's closer to getting a franchise overseas just because they've been experimenting, in particular with Europe, I think, because it just...
Or do they just like the one-offs, you know? Because I think... Here's the problem I think NFLs have is that I think the NFL thinks that they have to add four. That the only way
division.
The only way to justify this is that if you got four teams playing a total of six games against each other, all locked in over there, where you at least eliminate the teams. Because if you just put one team in London, well, first, then you got to add a second team somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You put two teams over there. Two teams isn't enough for a division. So you're making those two teams travel an insane amount more than pretty much every other team in the NFL. You make a conference, you make a division, then you can justify it. In Major League Baseball, you can just add one or two. It's series. Like, you're spread out. You take big, long road trips. So you'd be in London for 10 games. And look, I would assume that the way baseball would do it is, for the first time ever, rather than have, if let's say you're in the division with the London-based team,
mm-hmm.
and you have 13 games against them, I'm guessing you're doing that in two road trips, six games and seven games, and they're just going to squeeze you there for the week. Like, I think in baseball, it's actually easier to make it work schedule-wise in a weird way, and they're used to just being on the road for 2 weeks at a time, a week at a time. Like, that's not that uncommon, I guess.
When you do look at the numbers, though, and you see, like, the global audience for these games, it does make you think if you're based on what we've seen from commissioners across all sports,
yeah,
they want to make money, and what better way to do
that?
There's
nowhere else to go but out.
Yes, exactly. What better way to expand? It is, the NFL thing is interesting because I know we've had the conversation before about them maybe making a whole division. The thing with the NFL, though, is that they've already got a perfect balance of divisions. So to make it work in the NFL, would it have to be two divisions, actually, just to make things balanced in the AFC and the NFC? Like, how exactly, you know what I'm saying? How would that work? Because if you add another, if you add one division, then you've got four in the AFC, four in the NFC, and then you've got one outlier. And I don't know how you make that work unless you make another division. But unless you, for whatever reason, which would be crazy to me.
But you do one NFC, one AFC, and they're just traveling all the time?
But see, you're talking about adding eight teams, too? Then you're talking about
eight. Yeah. You don't have the quarterbacks for that.
Yeah.
Someone's complaining about the quarterbacks for four. You imagine the quality of quarterback play? We got Dylan Gabriel starting this weekend with Shedeur Sanders backing him up. I think they just announced he'll be the two.
Yeah, or maybe, I don't know how you would do it for the playoffs. He'd be a little bit screwy where maybe the Europe-based division winner automatically gets into the playoffs, but you put them as like a seven seed. That's where it gets really, really messed up.
Or do they just keep doing one-off games, you know?
It feels like the one-off games, I think to your point, I don't know how the divisions shake out exactly in baseball. If it'd be easier to make a division in baseball compared to a division in the National Football League, in terms of playoff balance, I think is mainly where I'm going with it and thinking of how the format would look.
Well, here's the thing. First off, in baseball, they already have imbalanced divisions. So they don't technically have to add anybody.
You're saying
because they have 30 teams, not 32. They are already imbalanced.
Yeah.
So like you could add two teams, one in Mexico City, one in Europe, both in Europe, whatever you want to do.
Sure.
You can do it that way and not there's already divisions that don't have the same number of teams. So, like, you already have an imbalance and I guess can create it and work around at least to that end. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk about the potential huge name that's being mentioned, at least in the Royals offseason, even if I think it's a long shot, and how that relates to what Vinny told us earlier in the show. I will pass along one note. I saw the KC Current. Remember we said they got their playoff game this Sunday? I saw who's going to – they lead in the KC baby chant, so they always have like a person come out and say it'll be Spags this week.
Hey, let's go.
Spags going out to the game to do the KC baby chant, which I think will be a lot of fun. Obviously looking forward to the KC Current playoff game, which we'll talk about for a little bit later in the show and maybe with Harold Kuntz, who's coming in for Fan Club at 1. But when we come back, I'm going to tell you about a name that's being mentioned by John Heyman as a potential Royals target. How realistic is it? I'll tell you what the general manager.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Manager said to me, back in here on Cody and Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Drew Nixon on the other side of the glass. We appreciate Heist dropping by for a little bit earlier in the show. Harold Kuntz from Fox 4 is going to pop in for a little fan club coming up at 1 o'clock. Brought to you by Jay Rieger and Company. We'll be having Rye Manhattans today, Drew.
All right.
Curacao, sweet vermouth, rye whiskey.
I don't know what some of those are. I've heard of
bitters.
Yeah, as long as it's good, I guess, you know.
Yeah, you know, you have to try it. Have you ever had a Manhattan before?
Well, yeah, I've had a Manhattan. I've never worked in a bar though. So in terms of the putting together of a drink like that, I don't know the ingredients, if you will. But yeah, I've had a Manhattan and they're very good, so I'm looking forward to it.
Text line and over on Twitch, why not? And some others were pointing out. It's a good point. Like the biggest hiccup with it's not even like the regular season part of it. Drew had said, if you got a game, you've got a team in London, and now you got to work out a playoff schedule. They got to play on wild card weekend and come back.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there is like a there's a legitimate playoff part that is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you know, because you can build in double buys and you can build in things in the regular season to get rid of some of the jet lag and to maneuver that in some ways.
I do think the
and it's tough.
I do think I think what they're doing right now by going to Spain and Frankfurt and Munich and London, they're trying to find the best spot to host a Super Bowl. I think they are testing different places in different countries to see which one do we have the first Super Bowl, the first international Super Bowl at.
So I'm gonna bring up a name. Not because I think it's realistic for the Royals at the moment, but I'm gonna bring it up because I think that there might be something at play here this offseason. J.J. Piccolo joined us earlier this week. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. Wednesday. He joined us on the show, and he talked about their offseason and why he thought starting pitching could be a good avenue and their catching depth could be a good avenue to acquire some of the hitting that they require. John Heyman, who is very dialed into the Royals, mentioned Bo Bichette as a possible target for the Royals this offseason, citing their aggressiveness. As a reminder, Bo Bichette hit .311 this year with a .357 on base percentage.
Yes,
and an .840 slug. He was coming off a bad year the year before in Toronto, but three really good years before that. So we'll wash away the injury-riddled 81-game season and just assume that that ain't him. And that when he led the league in hits in 2021 and 2022 and hit .311 with a .357 on base, that's it. The projected contract for him right now over at MLB.com is like $225 million a year. Or not a year, total. Like a $200 to $225 million deal.
Mm.
somewhere in that like $40 to $50 million range per year. It's a lot, as you can imagine, for a team like the Royals. Here's why I'm going to tell you that while it's a long shot and probably won't happen, even though I'm not trying to make it seem like, you know, it's around the corner, why what I think Vinny said to us earlier in the show means there's a chance. If you ask around the league, the Royals have been players in free agency with some of the higher-priced players over the last couple of years. No, I don't think they're posting whatever hundreds of millions of dollars it'll cost for the Japanese stars getting ready to come into Major League Baseball. He'll probably be a Yankee or a Dodger or whatever. But with Bo Bichette, they have shown a willingness to attempt to throw big money at some free agents. And what Vinny said earlier, I think is true. He said, I'm not just saying this because I play for him. I think John Sherman is one of the best owners in sports. And you know why? Because John Sherman thinks you have to spend money to win. He genuinely believes that as a practice. In talking to him, in talking to people who are around him, David Glass didn't feel that way. Not every time. Maybe later when they were winning. Lots of owners in baseball, football, do not feel that way. They think that they can numbers their way to the system that is better than everyone else and find their way to, like, I mean, look what the Twins did. They cut every single high-priced player. They traded every single high-priced player off their roster. And they're going to rebuild and go young and hope that it all gets there and do this stuff. I do honestly think that John Sherman thinks part of the way in which you have to win is to spend money. So one of these times, I think he's going to take a free agency swing. One of these times, I think he's going to give a bunch of money to somebody that isn't Bobby Wood Jr. And because this roster, I think, is actually relatively cheap, this is a really good time to take on a contract like that. Vinny still has years of control. Look, I'd give Vinny an extension, but that still wouldn't mean he's 4 years into his deal. Add two more years. I mean, you're not going to pay him for years. Vinny's cheap. India's cheap. Salvi's $12.5 million a year. He's not that expensive. Who in your starting staff's costing you a ton of money? Walker? Like, Cole Reagan's are still dirt cheap. Noah Camara costs nothing. They don't even have a lot of high-priced talent. It all adds up. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're not paying anybody. They do have, like, the, you know, 15th to 20th payroll or whatever in any given year. But this, in my opinion, is a really good year to pay a guy. And if you're going to give it to somebody, pay it to a guy who hits, can hit at the top of your lineup, can play an infield position, and you can move Mikel Garcia to a different spot and find a hitter like this. I think it's a long shot. I think largely because convincing Bo Bichette to take your money instead of somebody else's is going to be hard. That, I think, is actually the tougher sell. I think you could convince John Sherman to pony up $200 million or get close to the number that he is worth. I think it is harder to convince Bo Bichette to do it. Right now, the Royals' payroll is set at $83 million. It currently ranks 16th in Major League Baseball. Last year, they spent around $120. Doing some numbers there, Drew, in your head? $120 to $85. Oh, yeah, we're real close to Bo's number. And do you see a lot of additions? They don't have to add starting pitching. They don't have to add a ton of bullpen, maybe a little. They're not adding other position players if they add Bo Bichette. They're cheap. Carter Jensen makes nothing. Jack makes nothing. So young players there. Your stars, Vinny makes nothing. He's going to make like a couple million dollars this year. So when the moment's there, why not go after Bo Bichette?
I do wonder. Now, it's not necessarily a concern because obviously, you know, they can move some players around and make it work. But the fact that he's an infielder, it would be nice. And maybe this is just nitpicking, but it would be nice to just get a player who is a natural outfielder
to play
that
the outfield?
Has the bat to just play the outfield
it.
And then you
but he's
keep
the best
kill.
Bat, you know?
Right. 100%. And that obviously is the area of need that you want to focus on if you're the Royals to try to improve. It's just that I haven't looked, so I don't know what the outfield options are. I mean, maybe this is where you know what? You trade for a guy that is an outfielder who you can give a big contract to or who is due for one
already,
potentially soon.
Or is already paid sure, decent money.
100%. I think that, not that that's a, again, that might be a nitpicking thing where, hey, you know what? Bo Bichette traded, he plays third, or signed, he plays third.
You're saying go give Cody Bellinger money or something.
Yeah, you know? But, you know, I think to an extent, I don't know what the ceiling is for how old Cody Bellinger is compared to Bo Bichette and what the trajectory is, at least
older.
In terms of their
Bo
playing
Bichette's
career.
27.
Yeah. And then I don't know what Cody Bellinger is. I'm going to guess 31 or 2, something like that.
Oof, I would have guessed like 34.
Oh, he might be. Okay, even still. But like, I think
I could be wrong. I don't remember. He feels like he's been in the league forever.
But I think you're right. For a player.
30.
I mean,
he'll be 31.
So maybe you pay Cody Bellinger instead of Bo Bichette. I know that sounds crazy because maybe Bo might be the better player, but it's out of position. Do you feel willing to try and make the move and take a player like Mikel and move him to the outfield after he just won a gold glove? It makes sense for the batting purposes, but I think it would be kind of nice if there was an option to put a guy in the outfield who's natural at that position where you can keep the infield solidified in back-to-back seasons.
And I understand, like, the text line saying he's not going to spend that much. They're pretty much middle of the road. They're not going to spend more unless you know for sure that that's going to be the case. And there's other names worth mentioning, and people are mentioning them over there. Kyle Tucker, some of the Joe Adell, Taylor Ward combos.
I think Kyle Tucker would be interesting.
Yeah, there are lots of good players. Look, my fear, Drew, is that if they don't actually take this, like, swing, then what you're going to end up with is, and I liked him. He was fine to have here. But you're going to end up with another, like, Yastrzemski-level player. And I think legitimately, if you
not what you really need.
Fine, if you want to call this Royals homerism. If I look at the team as it's constructed right now, they are not that far off from being a contender in the AL Central. They had and will maintain every single pitcher off of a playoff caliber rotation last year. They will keep all of the back end bullpen guys who led the charge a good chunk of the way. They still have the same superstar shortstop. Mikel Garcia is going to have to maintain his level of play, so that's a challenge, admittedly. Vinny, way more likely to just maintain his level of play because he's been a consistent big leaguer when he's been up. Salvi and Carter hasn't changed. Like, I think they're one hitter away from being a viable in MLB offense. Do I think they're the Dodgers on offense if they get Bo Bichette or any offensive player? No. But they are one hitter away from at least being viable, Drew.
So would
like
you,
not being the kind of offense that goes quiet for 8 weeks.
All right, so I went ahead and I pulled up Kyle Tucker's stats. Would you take this? So
let me hear it.
So his batting average last year was .266. That was it was one of his actually worst seasons as a pro, but from an on-base percentage-wise, he was actually better than any season aside from 2024. He had a .377 on-base percentage. Slug was .464. Had 22 homers last year, 73 RBIs. Traditionally, in the low 20s to mid-20s with home runs, RBIs had as much as 112 in 2023. I don't know if that's the... Is that the level of guy that you want? Where, again, he's 3 years removed from that year where he had 112 RBIs. He's 28.
I'll be honest, sadly, the Royals buy a lot in that market. They buy a lot in the... Remember what he was a couple of years ago. Jonathan India is the exact player they just did that with.
I was going to say, does he fit into that Yastrzemski or Jonathan India category?
No, he's better.
Where you don't want to get him?
No, he's above those guys.
Okay, so
he had a .377 on base percentage and a career .358. He gets on base, he can hit near the top of your order, and he plays natural outfield.
So
he was a four-war player last year. He's maybe not in the category of Bo Bichette but he's not far off.
You would take a guy like that in a heartbeat because he's a natural outfielder and for all those other things.
Instantaneously. Yeah. Instantaneously. Look, it doesn't have to be Bichette. I mentioned him because Heyman brought him up.
And obviously, again, if we're talking big players on the market, like Bo Bichette is one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name, like in regards to players.
This
available.
Is a good year to go for a swing. It's a good year to go for a swing. It just makes sense. It aligns with where you are, and you should strongly, strongly, strongly consider it. Coming up in 15 minutes, Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 will join us for a little Fan Club Friday. But earlier today, if you were listening, we did Random Question of the Day. We talked about gifts for the Pope, which means we're flipping it, and instead we're going to do Trash Now.
Trash of the Day.
I'm going to make everyone's Friday feel super weird, Drew.
Oh, boy.
I'm switching things up, doing things at different times. I got to lead them both, so why not do it a little bit different? I'll let Heisler ask a random question today. I still want us to get to Trash of the Day, where we head over to Japan.
Hey.
Just talking about him as it relates to baseball. Well, if you're looking for something to do when you're in Japan, you could always, and according to the headline of this story, sniff some animal butts. And if you're saying, what the hell are you talking about? That's a fair question.
Uh-huh.
The Otoa Aquarium in Kobe, Japan.
An aquarium is doing this.
Has an unusual exhibit that lets visitors smell what different animal butts smell like. The display features framed portraits of animals, including penguins, tigers, hippos, koalas, each with a small hole near the picture. When people lean in and sniff through the holes, they get a whiff of what the animals behind smells like. The smells are fake and created artificially. They are safe to breathe, it says. It says the exhibit is meant to teach people how animals use smell to communicate with each other and figure out things with health and mood. Videos of people sniffing the portraits have gone viral online. What do you think, Drew?
Hang on.
Are you interested in an aquarium exhibit?
No.
To smelling an animal's butt?
No. Do I have to pay for this? No.
I don't know. Like, don't it sounds like it's just, it sounds like a free exhibit.
Even if it's free, I would say no.
Why not? Mix it up a little bit? I love the zoo. I love going to the zoo.
I love the zoo so much. I would go to the zoo. I would go to the zoo by myself and just enjoy seeing all the animals. But I would not go to an exhibit where I would embrace the sense of smell out of animals' butts. That's because, look, I appreciate nature and I appreciate all the things that make what we live in today what we live in today. I appreciate the cohesiveness of smells and sound and all those other things. I don't have to experience it. I can appreciate that animals have a sense of smell and that can help them do a variety of different things, just like our sense of smell helps us as well. But I don't need to experience this. I will pass.
I'm just not interested.
Are you into? Would you do it? I don't need to.
I don't know. Maybe. I liked all those zoos.
But this is the thing. You get that first whiff. You don't even know. Like you name like 5 or 6 animals. You get the first whiff, and if it's really bad, it's like, man, I might be done. Like I don't know if I can take this.
Oh man! Somebody said this sounds like somebody would be. Oh man. Text line got dark with it in a hurry. That's not surprising. But, yeah, immediately got in dark with it. Somebody mentioned Kyle Tucker's line. The longest of long shot. He's going to get a 10-year contract, probably. Yeah, I understand.
All right.
You know, maybe sometimes. Right now, though, how many other players do you think are 10-year players for the Royals?
I mean, Bobby.
Bobby. Vinny's in a contract for 5 years. Pay Vinny, but, like, he's in a contract for 4 years, probably, I think, before his contract runs out. Are there any other 10-year guys? Nobody in the pitching staff right now. They don't have Tarek Skubal, who's probably going to end up a Dodger anyway. Met.
Please, I would take him going to the Yankees over the Dodger. Can you just get somebody else to go somewhere else? I guess other than the Yankees, too. Padres. Please.
That's the trash of the day. You can go smell animal butts in Japan.
In Japan.
I have, guess what? Good news, Drew. Because we've got a few minutes before Harold Kuntz is going to come and join us here for a fan club. I have a bonus random question. You don't have to play the sound, but for you, Drew,
hey. And
I have the answer to this, and over on the text line, 913-586-7965. Somebody over on the text line, or over on Twitch, Agent, asked, how much do you think a matchmaker costs? Because this would be a question for Alex, who's currently single, actively vacationing in the Bahamas, so we know he's available. How much do you think a matchmaker costs to hire for a woman in Dallas? He said he had a friend who was quoted. Curious to see what everyone thinks it cost. He then gave me the number it cost. I'm looking for an annual number of what you think it costs to get a matchmaker in Dallas, and then I will tell you the actual number. What do you think?
For a year, you're saying? Or for just one, like you find a match?
Well, I don't know. It's just a matchmaker. Okay. Presumably, they spend a lot of time trying to find the right person for you.
For an annual cost, $1,500.
For the annual?
Yeah, that might sound way
Text
too
line,
high.
What are your guesses before I give the answer? 913.
That might be way
586-7965. I want to know what everyone thinks it costs. Man, I guess.
A match? I would never pay.
I don't think I'd ever pay a matchmaker.
A matchmaker. Right. No.
I'm just going to be either single or I'm going to take the worst kind of luck with the app or, you know. And look, I haven't been single in a million years and I don't have any intent to be. So it's. But I have a hard time imagining I would spend hard-earned cash on a match. Maybe if I was like a multimillionaire and I didn't want someone to marry me just for my money, maybe. But in that case, wouldn't it be better just meet him out on the streets?
Yeah, no, it's better.
You know, better chance to just like find him in the wild?
It's better for you to collectively spend, let's say it is $1,000 and it takes you that long. I don't know.
Text line says from the 913, $15,000 in Dallas, $10,000 in Dallas, $1,000 is a guess.
That's a lot of money,
only $15 a month for Tinder Premium. I don't even know what that buys you. What is the premium version by you than the others? The correct answer, by the way, from Agent over on Twitch is $35,000.
No way, dude.
For
That's
a year.
Dumb. That's
I
dumb.
Mean, how
dumb.
Rich are you? 35 $1,000 is what they were quoted.
You would be better. I know. Let's say the number is $1,000 instead. You'd be, I think you would have maybe a better success rate, or it'd be more worth your money to just buy $1,000 worth of drinks over time at a bar and hopefully hit on somebody.
Yes.
Over that time. And you can do it yourself. It's not letting somebody else make a decision or help you. I feel like a relationship is something that you should not go to somebody else for, particularly paying somebody.
Text line, a couple of people had it right. Someone says, I bet it's something stupid like 40, but 35.
That's close, 30, man.
$35,000.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I just like, I guess for me, Drew, it's like, I'm thinking about how, like, let's just say you could, like, we gave Alex 35. We were going to play matchmaker, and someone gave us $35,000 to find Alex a wife this year. I mean, I think I'd get close. Or if we just gave him $35,000, we're like, hey, man, you have to spend this $35,000 trying to find, a serious relationship this year. Rather than hire a matchmaker, and I just said, you can go on the apps, you can go to restaurants, you can go on dates, do whatever. But by the end of the year, this is a Brewster's Million situation. You got to spend this money. I think the odds of him finding someone he likes for that $35,000 are significantly higher than some random matchmaker finding it.
I agree because... And this is the thing. Are we talking matchmaker to like get into a serious relationship?
I mean, if you're hiring a matchmaker, you're just looking for a hookup.
I agree. Or I mean, are we talking like spouse material, or are we talking? Because I do think there's a level of, hey, here's $35,000. You could do some stuff with $35,000 to make a lot of people become your significant. Oh, you're running around with that kind of cash? Sure, I'll do that. And then when it runs out, it's a problem. But I do.
I'm just saying, if you like,
yes,
on the apps, going on date every single night. Nice dates, nice places, nice people. You're going out to bars or clubs and looking for people, right? If you just spent 7 days a week, $35,000?
No, that
would take so long.
That's a ridiculous level of money. I do think this is correct. From the 785, paying a matchmaker is the equivalent of telling everyone you don't have Riz or game, you have no aura points. I totally agree with that. If you would never be able to openly, at least in terms of your friend group or even in my family, if I were to tell my brother, hey, I hired a matchmaker to find somebody for me. You would get made fun of like none other. Like, excuse me? You would be the butt of every single joke because you took in $35,000 worth.
DJ over on Twitch said, I'd sniff every animal butt at the zoo before paying that much.
If you gave me a choice between that or paying a matchmaker that much, I would also do the animals.
I gotta say, I think sometimes we're in the wrong career. All I gotta do is find two people to hire Cody and Gold matchmaking service. It'll make $70,000. you find a wife. I'll spend a lot of time on her husband.
Uh-huh.
I'll spend a lot of time. Drew, we'll spend a lot of time looking for that person's significant other.
That also is the other thing. What do you think?
I'll interview your friend groups. I'll look for people in your workspace. I'll look for people on the apps for you. I'll find someone for you for $35,000.
I was going to say, what exactly is the process of this matchmaker? Like, okay, what makes it worth $35,000 to hire this person? Like what... Do you give them do you meet with them and sit down with them and explain the type of person that you are and then go into what your interests are and all those other things? Like, I feel like there is, because you can spend all this money and I don't know if you get any trial runs, like, hey, you try a date and it doesn't work out, then you go on to the next one, or if it is a one shot, I got a year to find you one person and I'm dedicating all my resources to one person, because if it doesn't work, then what happens after that?
It's crazy, man.
You're relying on somebody else rather than your own feelings to find somebody. I don't know. Because everything, a lot of, this stuff is a vibe. Like, it's a dating thing. Like, you might not even like the person originally right away, but you might be cool with each other. And then all of a sudden, things progress over the course of time. Whatever the case is.
I think we should just, out of a service to prove that we're good matchmakers, find one single person on the text line, Twitch, or YouTube, and then try to get them set up with somebody, Tell me your interest. Give me a breakdown. Send me an email. And give me a breakdown of your interest, which part of the city you live in, and give me like five things you find really attractive in somebody that are not looks, although I would like some looks comparisons too, and five things that are an absolute no, like if you just won't date a smoker, give me the five, and then that way we can find someone for you, We don't need the $35,000.
These people are obviously very rich.
Yeah, I'd say so.
$35,000.
When we come back, we'll talk some more Chiefs, Royals, whatever, Casey Current, who have a playoff game this weekend with Harold Koontz. He'll join us in the fan club next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.